Blog Talk Radio.
My media can talk in a special way. There are some things they help me say. Hello, come here, is it okay? Nice to meet you, how are you today?
Welcome to WeHands Radio. Learn to connect with your baby, toddler, and preschool child. I'm your host, Sarah Bingham. Hi, everybody. It's Sarah. I am the founder of WeHands and the author of the Baby Signing Book. Thank you for tuning in. I've got my coffee and it's snowing out and we're all ready for a great conversation. WeHands is all about connecting with your baby and we help moms and dads connect with their babies and connect with each other in the community. We also get to meet some amazing individuals, parenting experts, from around the world now, and we are supporting and helping parents connect with each other and helping them out. And today I get the opportunity to chat with one of those individuals. Devaney Drew is a mom, most importantly, and she's the founder of Still Playing School, which I love that name. Devaney has a bachelor's degree in early childhood education. She's taught kindergarten in public and private schools. And today we're going to chat about a lot. We're going to talk about early childhood education, literacy, as well as overcoming loss and grief as a parent. Devaney, welcome to our wee little show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yay, I'm always just tickled when technology works. Tell us a little bit about, now you're in Pennsylvania, is that right?
Right, yes.
Lovely. So you're a little more south than me, but I think you're still cold.
Yes, it's snowing here, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what you were like as a little one. I'm just picturing you with a chalkboard as a little one.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I grew up in a small town in western Pennsylvania where everyone knows everyone else. And from really early on, I loved to play school. My brothers and my dad were my only students. They would pretend that they were the students and I was the teacher. And I learned to read early, and reading was and still is a big part of my life. And then that childhood love for playing school ended up being the name of my blog now.
I love it. You remind me, my dad he's retired now. My dad was a teacher, and in the summertime when he would go to tear down his classroom or get it to set up for the fall, one of our favorite things to do, me and my sisters, was to go and draw on his blackboard.
Yeah.
And that was just the most fun, absolutely. You've been a teacher. You've got a definite background in early childhood education as well. So what do you tell people now about what you do?
I always say I am a former kindergarten teacher turned right-at-home mom. So I'm staying home with my kids, but I'm also writing. And after teaching both private and public school, I was working on my master's in literacy education, actually, when we had our first child. And I really didn't intend on resigning from my teaching position when she was born, but that's what we decided was best for our family. So now I write at Still Playing School to share the play-based educational activities I create for our kids here at home.
That is, and I've just been looking at your Facebook page. You've got so much stuff on there. It's amazing.
Thank you.
How old is your daughter now?
She is 5.
So you've been still playing school. I got to get the name right. For almost 5 years.
Yes. I started Still Playing School when she was 1.5. And actually at the time I was pregnant with our second baby, Violet, who we learned during our pregnancy via ultrasound. We learned that Violet wouldn't live very long if she was born alive at all. So obviously all writing stopped at that point. She lived 2.5 brief but beautiful days. And I quit writing at Still Playing School during the pregnancy then. And, after she was after she was gone because we were understandably devastated and adjusting to a life full of grieving instead of bringing home another newborn. But since then, that was she was born and died over 3 years ago now. So since then, we've incorporated Violet's story and all the ways we remember her into my writing. And since then, we've also had our third child, a son, Daniel, who's now two. So Evelyn's five and Daniel's two. And Still Playing School has become a place where I can mother all three of them together. I can share the interests and activities that I do with Evelyn and Daniel, and also share how we're always growing and evolving as a family through our pain of missing Violet as well.
I love your I love your story. Your story is wonderful and sad and just phenomenal. Looking at your blog is Still Playing School, and the motto, if I can say it's a motto, is playing, learning, and remembering. Can you tell us about that little phrase?
Yeah, it's just another little way that I've incorporated her into it all, because, you know, Daniel and Evelyn are playing and learning every day, and we're also remembering. We're remembering Violet. And actually, one of my most recent posts was about all the ways that you can use dot stamp markers with kids. And if you notice the image, I put the violet-colored one right in the front of the image that I took. So there's all these little, like, ways that she manages to pop up, or we intentionally include her in what we're doing every day, both in our real life and then in the writing at Still Playing School.
That's such a great story. I know that in my years of doing therapy and working with kids and babies and toddlers and doing curriculum development and trying to come up with new and fun things, even just with my own two kids, you've got so much on your site. In terms of crafts that are education-based, how do you find time to do the crafts, do it with your kids, take pictures, blog, Pinterest? how do you do this?
A lot of coffee and late nights after they're in bed. Yeah, everything is centered around them. You know, they are the light of our lives, and I'm fortunate to be able to stay home with them and work with them every day. And so we set up and do the activities, and then later I do all the kind of behind-the-scenes work, the photo editing and writing and getting it all up
yeah.
to share the next day.
Well, and I know I've come across your site just looking for more education-based crafts, and you probably get so many early childhood educators coming by your blog and looking at what you're doing and getting inspired by what you're doing. But there's also the remembering side, the parents. What is traffic like to your site? Who is finding you? Is it parents who have also lost and are grieving? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's funny because at first I was reluctant to write about Violet in that space. I felt, you know, like I had started it as an educational blog, and I had a close friend say, this is still education. You know, you're teaching people in a different way about something that you didn't intend to teach them about. But yeah, it felt very self-indulgent at first to write about her. You know, I thought, like, who wants to come to this site to read about that? But it's a part of who we are, and it's what we live every day. And that's not to say that we're always sad, because, you know, as I've shared, a lot of Violet's legacy, especially 3 years later now, is the joy and the beauty she's shown us in life. And so I learned that people do want to read about her and us and other stories of struggle. Last March, I shared 13 similar stories of other babies that had a similar, the exact same diagnosis as Violet. So, you know, we're all human, and that pain connects us. And it's shown me that sometimes strangers will swoop in and help you heal when your closest friends have to walk away because your tragedy is too much for them. So I've learned that sharing the pain through the writing helps me, but ultimately helped others understand, and it cleared a path for those, you know, who have lost children and babies since Violet died. And I always think of Ernest Hemingway's quote write hard and clear about what hurts. And those blog posts definitely take the most out of me emotionally, and they take a lot longer to write, but then they also seem to do very well. They get the most traffic. So that encourages me that people do want to read about her and where we are in our journey through grief.
Well, I'm always talking about how using sign language with your baby and toddler helps you connect with them, and definitely seeing mom's friendships blossom in our classes is another connection, but what you're doing through your blog and your writing, that is catharsis for you, being able to connect with so many other people 24 hours a day is amazing.
Thanks.
I'm just looking at her sweet little picture on your website. She had a heart defect. Is that right?
Yeah, she had a chromosome abnormality called trisomy 13. So just like Down syndrome is trisomy 21, extra chromosome on the 21st. Hers was on the 13th. So that's actually one of the most severe trisomies that a baby can have and still be born alive. And, yeah, because of that, she had multiple defects, but the biggest issue was her heart defect.
Yeah. Well, I think it's wonderful because using the internet and blogging, we've been able to do this for 14, 15 plus years now, being able to connect with each other. And I know in the work that we do at WeHands, we're definitely meeting a lot of brand new moms, but also coming across preemies and parents of kids with Down syndrome and autism ability to connect. And it may not have been the same syndrome, but just to be able to express yourself in such a way and get support is so incredibly important.
Absolutely.
You have a little son who is redhead, and I love that.
Yes. I'm so shocked that he's over two now, and I'm still, everyone everywhere we go asks, where did red hair come from? And I just can't believe it. It's so, well, everyone says it's orange. She corrects people. She says, not red, it's orange. And she's right. It's technically orange, but yeah.
My daughter would call it ginger, and she just loves red head. She's 12, and I told her, we can't dye your hair yet, okay? It's a beautiful color. A couple more years. Just give me a couple more years. In doing what you've done, you've been an educator. You've worked with kids, many, many, many children in different settings, and then you have your own family and your own circumstances and your own kiddies. What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in doing what you do when it comes to still playing school? So schooling your own kids and posting what you post.
I think just, parents, you get bombarded with a ton of advice and you can't possibly listen to it all because sometimes people are even telling you conflicting things. So I think I've just learned to listen to my heart instead. And if something doesn't feel right to you, if someone is telling you that you must do it a certain way so you don't set up bad habits, but your heart is struggling with that, then you don't need to listen to them. You need to listen to your own parental instincts. And again, with the internet, seek out other parents who have the same philosophies as you, because they're out there and you're not alone and you can find the support that you need to do things the way that you believe is right.
Because there's so many different ways to do things, and just smiling and nodding and saying thank you and not continuing the conversation is the little skill that I've learned.
Yes, that's great advice.
Thanks so much for the advice. And you definitely have a focus on early childhood education and definitely literacy. What are some preschool tips that you can share regarding literacy development?
I love to gear anything we're doing towards their interests. So right now, Daniel is obsessed with Thomas Trains, and I have a post on my blog about teaching size among different Thomas Trains. So we got a bunch of different sets out, and we talked about the same and different and color and big, little, small, and we put them in order. Yeah, so, there's nothing quite like taking the knowledge I obtained and acquiring my degrees and applying it to teaching my own kids. And I have and likely will teach so many other different kids in different parts of my life, but for now, it's all about them and gearing it towards what they're passionate about. And, you know, the look in the eye when they succeed and apply new learning to something is never, I would never want to miss that. So we've actually decided to continue teaching the kids at home by homeschooling, and it's not something that I ever imagined myself doing, but again, this is just where life led us, and I've found support and community of other parents online saying, yes, you can do this, follow your heart, and it feels right, and it's amazing.
Good for you. You might, well, first of all, you must have a lot of energy because I could not do it. But you also must have this, I mean, you're trained as a teacher and you've worked in the public system and the private system, and you probably had a little battle with yourself going, no, we have to go through the school system.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm always clarifying that I don't have anything against the public school system. I mean, I was in it and it was great and it works fabulously for so many families, but just for us right now, we've decided that the right decision is homeschooling, and so kind of letting go of that cultural norm and saying, yeah, it's okay for us to venture into this different path of life that we think well for us.
I always think it's amazing, but I mean, particularly you see it when you're pregnant and when you have really young children, the advice that you get for everything, and then you're definitely, if you're not going mainstream school system, you're also going to get advice and looks regarding what you're doing now. But once kids get past 18 years, we don't really talk about these things. How were you schooled,
right?
And where do you? Yeah.
Yeah. Did your mom breastfeed or bottle feed you? I need to know that. nobody cares once you're out and making friends and, you know, establishing those relationships. It's not a business anymore. So isn't that funny how that works?
Can you imagine being like having a job interview when you're 38 years old,
right,
and somebody asking that
question?
Yeah,
when did you start sleeping in your own room? Did your parents co-sleep, or did you go through sleep training? Nobody, it doesn't matter.
Oh, goodness. What keeps you interested in doing what you're doing with your kids?
I think, like I said, just both seeing that it's working and seeing their passion and motivation to learn, and also sharing with other like-minded colleagues on the internet, seeing some great websites and blogs that I've admired, you know, for years, like Teach Preschool, sharing our ideas on their own page, Toddler Approved, you know. Big name early childhood education websites that I've loved are saying, yeah, this is good stuff. We're going to share it with our readers as well. And so that's really exciting and motivating, as well as seeing my own kids enjoy what we do.
It's probably harder, not necessarily get motivated, but to be overwhelmed. It's probably easier to get overwhelmed by all the stuff that's out there now.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much. Your daughter is 5, correct?
Right, yep.
How's she doing reading-wise and all of those things?
She is probably reading on a second-grade level right now. If I had to take a guess, haven't done any official assessments on that. But, I have friends that will say, how did you teach her to read? And, again, it wasn't like we were drilling flashcards when she was 3. She just, that is just naturally where she is academically. So, again, we've just met her, whether, you know, my kids would be behind or above grade level, I'm going to meet them exactly where they're at and nurture that in a developmentally appropriate way. So, yeah, she loves to read.
The background that you have, and probably there's probably a little genetics there, too, considering you were playing school by probably her age almost.
Yeah, exactly.
and so you're getting visitors to your blog for regarding early education information and all the wonderful crafts and pictures. I love it, and literacy suggestions as well. Advice for parents, I mean, it's absolutely massive. So I won't ask you to give all the advice that you can give, but in terms of when you're dealing with grief, what kind of advice can you give just in a kind of nutshell for parents?
Regarding grief specifically?
Yeah.
Okay. I never hide my emotions from my kids. So, you know, the day where I'm missing Violet, they see me work through that, and they've just learned so much empathy through witnessing that. They know that emotions aren't scary because adults have them too, and we're modeling methods of healthy ways to work through those emotions, appropriate ways to deal with them. And then my kids see that and they apply it to their own struggles, you know, meltdowns about whatever it might be at 5 and 2. And so I always tell Evelyn, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad, but it's, you know, here's a positive way to deal with that. You know, so it's okay to be angry. Mm-hmm. It's not okay to hit. Let's think of another way that we can manage that anger. So the anger isn't bad and the sadness isn't something scary mm-hmm. and overwhelming. We can deal with it together. So hopefully that only continues as they grow older.
I love it. And you're giving, again, I'm all about communication. So you're giving language and vocabulary for things that are really complicated. But
right.
It's things that you can't, I've said the word nutshell before, you can't teach them in a nutshell. You've got to model and help kids learn this through experience and over the years. And being able to talk about your emotions is so critically important. And label them. I catch myself doing it every once in a while. And when one of my kids are sad or upset and I can see they're upset, obviously. We catch ourselves saying, oh, don't feel like that, or don't be sad.
Right.
It's okay to be sad. It's completely okay to be sad, or don't be mad. And for younger kids, it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. Some of the behaviors that you might exhibit when you're mad are not okay.
Right.
But it's okay to feel the emotion.
And it's okay to share that with other people, too. You know, we give them the words. We give them these baby signs to express how they're feeling, but then if they tell us they're upset in a way that we maybe don't want to deal with right in that moment, we say, oh, you're fine. No, they're telling us they're not fine. You know, they're using these words and signs that we've taught them to say, I am struggling right now and I need you to hear me
yeah.
and help. And so we need to respond to that in a way that's not, I guess, kind of like brushing it under the carpet.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Love it. And I think that's such a crucial message, not to brush it under the carpet, because we've allowed them to communicate. We want them to communicate. Now we've got to keep it going and deal with whatever situation is happening.
Yeah.
You have a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, you're doing so many activities and so many wonderful things. Are there any parenting or you don't have babies anymore? Parenting resources or even baby resources that you think are amazing and that you wish you had invented?
Yeah, I don't know. A resource would definitely just be the internet. You know, like I said, we are always hearing how technology disconnected us from face-to-face interaction, but there's been so many times, whether it was as a brand new mom or a newly grieving parent or exploring homeschooling, where I could jump online and get encouragement and support and camaraderie for whatever I was choosing as a parent. And it takes a village to raise a child, and the proverbial village has grown larger with the internet. And then as far as hard copy resources, books, Can it be my own books? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I have been published a few times. We published 99 Fine Motor Ideas. It's a collaboration with other educational blogs, and we share 99 playful ways to have your preschooler use their fine motor skills that they'll eventually need for writing, again, through play. And I also had a poem published in a book called To Linger on Hot Coals, which is a poetic collection of writing by grieving mothers. And both those books are available on Amazon. Going back to my favorite parenting books that I found, I love and recommend both The Wonder Weeks and The Happiest Baby on the Block. Are you familiar with those at all?
Yes.
They just, you know, both reassure new parents that your baby isn't trying to manipulate you. You can't spoil them. You know, there are developmental reasons why they want to be near you all the time, and they're going to go through phases of needing more or less of your time and devotion, and it's exhausting, but I think knowing the scientific and psychological reasons why my baby demanded so much of me helped me meet their needs when I was kind of just exhausted and tapped out. But, yeah, so, again.
And you just want to go to the bathroom. I just want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, it all comes, now my kids are 12 and 14, and there are times on the weekend where I am still in the house, right? You need me for anything? And
right.
So you'll have your time back, but you know what? And now that I have a 12 and a 14-year-old, if I could go back, and so many people say this, if I could go back and just get my snuggly 3-year-old back again, that would be just so cool for 5 minutes. But
and then they look at you. You're establishing those connections at, you know, 6 months old, a year old, 2 and 5, that you're here for them emotionally no matter what they're going through. And that is, like, the most important foundation you can lay when you have preteens and teenagers and college-age children, you know.
Because
you want
them to know that they can talk about it. Whether you're 3 and you're having a temper tantrum, you can talk to mommy. We can talk about your feelings.
Right.
You can express feelings. But now that I have a 12-year-old daughter going on 13, she can still talk to me. It's still a little bit of a temper tantrum every once in a while.
Right.
It's just a little different than a 3-year-old.
Right.
But the door is always open. And it's funny, I was just talking about going for driving places and going for, my daughter likes to go for coffee or hot chocolate and just kind of sit for a while. And you know what? It's just having that time and just spending 20 minutes, 30 minutes allowing her to talk is just so amazing, because you learn so much about your kids just spending a little bit of time with them and letting them just go.
Yeah, I think we get caught up in the everyday tasks of parenting and making sure, you know, the laundry's done and everyone's dressed. We have everything we need to get out the door and, you know, we're fed and we had snacks and we brushed our teeth. But it's the in-between of those moments that you really catch the important parts of who they are and what they believe and what they need. And,
So we've got the Wonder Weeks, the Happiest Baby on the Block, and I'll put those links. The other book you talked about was To Linger on Hot Coals, and I'll put a link to that. And then it was 99 Fine Motor Activities. Was that the correct name?
99 Fine Motor Ideas.
Okay. I love that. And I know all the teachers and the occupational therapists that I work with will just think, okay, what was that one? I want that one.
Yeah.
I want that one. That's wonderful. So how can people find you? What's your Twitter, Facebook, and you probably are on Instagram and Pinterest.
Yeah, all everything. Our media is very social. You can find all the links at Still Playing School is www.stillplayingschool.com, and Twitter is at Playing School. Facebook page is Still Playing School. But, you know, if you go to the main blog, the website at www.stillplayingschool.com, we have all our social media links right up front and center.
With your rainbow. Can you explain what a rainbow baby is? For anybody?
Yes. That's another thing that's like an underlying theme you'll definitely see all over the website. A rainbow baby is a child that's born after the loss of another, either, you know, a pregnancy or a child. And it's just the idea that a rainbow comes after the storm. I'm always very clear to specify that, you know, Violet wasn't a storm, but the emotions we went through in losing her was the storm, and Daniel was our rainbow baby. He was the rainbow after that pain. And I'll tell you what, he was a very demanding baby. He's still a very demanding toddler, but it was great to be able to pour all of that mothering instinct that I had for him, but also through missing his sister into being his mama. So, yeah, it's been beautiful.
The fiery little redhead.
Yes.
And I love it. And you, and I'm, so I'm on www.stillplayingschool.com, and you've got Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram and Google Plus and so much awesome stuff.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So I'm going to have everybody go visit your website, and you can learn more about preschool education and just dealing with things that we're dealing with as parents of all different little ones. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sarah.
I love that we've been able to connect, and definitely I know that all the students that I work with have been poring over and drooling over your site. So it's been getting some traffic from our area of the world, definitely.
Thank you
so much for hanging out with us. And you have a regular visitor to your site right now in me. Awesome stuff. We are just about out of time. Definitely go visit the site, stillplayingschool.com. There's so much inspirational things in so many forms there. Our website is wehams.com. You can find us on Twitter if you have any questions. We get to chat with so many amazing folks from around the world. Typically, we're talking to Canadian U.S. parenting experts, but we actually have someone coming up soon who is going to be in England, so we're reaching across the ocean as well. You can follow WeHands on Twitter. We're at WeHands, and you can follow me if you have any questions or comments regarding parenting or using sign language with your babies, or if you have children with special needs, definitely I can help guide you and direct you in your journey as a mom or dad. WeHands has been around since 2001, and we are a children's sign language and language development program. We have fun and interactive classes. Last year, WeHands became part of Morner Chappelle's Children's Support Solutions, an amazing organization that provides health-centered and educational services to children with differences to help them reach their potential. An amazing organization and so many phenomenal therapists that I get to work with now. If you have any parenting or early language topics that you'd like me to cover, just send me a tweet. I'm at WeHands, so you can find us on Facebook. Search for WeHands Baby Sign Language. Until next time, I'm Sarah Bingham, WeHands founder and author of the Baby Signing Book.